Well, good evening. It's great to get to see everybody and come out this evening to worship and sing praises to God. I hope that each and every one of you enjoyed your afternoon, a nice sunny afternoon. Of course, if you're joining us via live stream, we do want to take a moment to welcome you as well. And I think I can speak for a lot of people here that hopefully as we get on the back end of the pandemic and as, of course, you feel more comfortable, we'll get to see you for in-person services again. Before I start, I would like to take a moment to, of course, thank Roger and thank Jason for giving me the opportunity to put a lesson together and present that to you all this evening. And I also want to take a moment to thank everybody who came up to me, whether it was before services this morning or before or after services this morning, and then this evening to give me some words of encouragement and to lift me up and tell me everything's going to be all right no matter how this goes. I do appreciate that. If you have your Bible with me, we're going to go a little old school tonight. No PowerPoint or anything like that. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Now, several months ago, when we were first getting back to our first attempt to come back to evening services, Roger approached me with the idea of putting a sermon together and delivering that sometime in mid to late December. And at the time, of course, we had been through a crazy year that was 2020, and we're still kind of on the back end of that crazy year. Of course, if you look back to late February, early March with the beginning of a global pandemic that really uprooted all of our lives, of course, caused a lot of hardship or uncertainty in our lives. As we progressed through that year, of course, us as a society and as a country, we went through a lot of social issues and things that we experienced all across the country. And when you tie both of those things in as well with the daily politics of our life, which is just constantly up in our face, whether you're on watching the news every day or on social media, we can't escape it. And it's been a crazy year, crazier than most, I would to say the least. And as I was, thinking of what I wanted to put together, I just couldn't help but notice with everything going on, just how people were treating one another, how people were acting. And it drew my mind back to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, where we'll get into in just a moment, but just how we as Christians are supposed to act in the world, how we're supposed to be different from the world, and besides that, how we can spread the word of God and be a light in the world when it is so dark and so broken. So if you have your Bibles open with me, we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And beginning in verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." Now, when we think of people who are out in the world right now, they're living in darkness, they're living in sin, what do you think that they see? To me, when I think of people who may not know God or may not know of the hope that we have in Him, I think that they see a lot of people who are living life doing whatever they want, whenever they want, and however they want to do it. They almost have that, if you remember the phrase YOLO, you only live once, and they're living their life doing whatever it is they want, what's going to make them happy, and they have no other purpose than that. I think that we also see, or people who are in the world may also see, that there are a lot of people who are treating people. They notice how people treat people, how people are acting towards one another. They also see that maybe there's people who are cheating, whether that be at work or at school, people lying, stealing, gossiping. They notice the things that people are saying about one another, saying to one another. And when I pause and whenever I was thinking about this, what do they notice when they look at us as Christians? When they look at you and me, when we're out in the world, what do they notice? Do they see that you and I are different from them? Do they see that the way that we live our lives, the way that we conduct ourselves, is that different from the rest of the world? Or do we simply blend in? When we're at work, when we're at school, and they're looking for hope, they're looking for something other than what's in this broken world, what do they notice? And if you would, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 17 through 32. It's Ephesians 4, chapter 17, or Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 32, rather. And just a little a preview of this. So Paul is writing to the saints in Ephesus, and he is talking to them about putting on their old selves, of the way that they lived when they were in darkness, when they were in the world, and how that they have put on that new self, and what does that look like? So beginning in verse 17, he says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learn Christ. assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Then in verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then finally, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. When I read that passage, there's really three things that stick out to me. The first is that the way that we as Christians live our lives and the way that we're supposed to carry ourselves is different from the rest of the world. So as I alluded to earlier, people are seeing all these things going on in the world. They're seeing all this hatefulness, all this anger. And that's not how God expects us to live. We're supposed to be different from people who are in the world. A second point that I see is that Paul tells the saints that we're to put off the old self. We're putting off that old self and putting on a new self. Well, what is that old self? If you would look with me, if we go down to really verses 22 through 24, he says, and to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And the ways of the old self are a lot of the things that we see in the world. It's the cheating, the lying, the stealing, the mean, nasty comments that we make about people or to people, and so on and so forth. It's that lifestyle that we are trying to live in that old self. And the new self is something that we are putting on to glorify God. And as it says in verse 24, we are glorifying God in his righteousness and holiness. But what does that look like? What are some of those traits that that Paul points out and says that we're to put away with? And then what are some of the ones that we should be exhibiting as Christians? If we go down, of course, to the bottom of 31 and 32, we start with things that he tells us to put away or put off. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So if we put off that old self, those are things that we are supposed to put off. We're not supposed to exhibit those traits, or we're supposed to try really hard to not to exhibit those. Instead, as having put on that new self, as he says, we are to be kind to one another. We're supposed to be tenderhearted. We're supposed to be forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave us. And then finally, if we move over to the next chapter in Ephesians chapter 5, we aren't going to read the whole thing, but if we look at verses 8 through 11, he says in verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So we once, just like everybody else, were in darkness, but now we are light, and we are paving the path for people and giving them light in a dark world. If we go down to verse 9, it says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So not only are we lights in the world, but we're supposed to point out to people and make people aware of darkness and of sin that they may see in the world. Some people, if they've never known God, they don't know any different, that they may be living their life in a way that's not according to God. And we should, as Christians, be able to be that light in the world and to be able to guide them and correct them and show them God. So when we look at these verses, what do we notice? Why is it important for us to be, or what does it mean, rather, to be a light in the world, as Jesus told us there in Matthew chapter 5? Well, I believe that it means that when we're living our lives and we're going out into the world, we are a reflection of God, we're a reflection of Christ, and we are also we are to set an example of how he expects us to live our lives and what he's wanting people to do. And really, it's the manner in which we carry ourselves, the way in which we conduct ourselves out in the world, school, restaurant, work, it doesn't matter where we are, but we should be striving to be a light to people in a dark and a broken world. And so if we look at, you know, we've established, you know, what does it mean, but why is that important to us? Ultimately, what difference does it make if I'm a light in the world, if I'm shining my light to people, or if I'm not? Does it really make a difference? And if we look at Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20, if we go back there to Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20, He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So we see here that Jesus is telling us that we are to go out into the world and make disciples of people. I think it's pretty safe to say it's hard to make disciples of people and hard to bring people out of darkness or out of sin and into Christ if we aren't living like he wants us to live, if we aren't shining our lights and setting a good example to people of what God expects us to live and what he has to offer to us. And the second reason that it is important to us, or why it does make a difference, why does it matter, is that we as Christians are living a life, or supposed to be living a life dedicated to Christ, dedicated to his word and what he has to offer. And living that life isn't something that we just do behind closed doors. It's not something that we just do on Sunday when we dress up and come to church, or when we're with our family, or when we're with fellow Christians. It's something that we're doing all day, all year long, 24/7, 365, and it never ceases. And when we live our lives dedicated to Christ, and we shine that light to people who are looking at a world that's so broken, they may notice that there's something different about us, that the way that we're carrying ourselves is different. And that gives us the opportunity to present to them the word of God, the hope that we have in him, the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And we can tell others about all the great things that he has done and what he has to offer to them. And that can change people's lives by being that light in the world and by introducing them to something. But one of the only ways that we can do that is by shining our light to people and showing them that there is a different route than what the rest of the world is taking. And so finally, just a few thoughts before we close. So we've kind of looked at what does it mean to be a light in the world, but also why, what difference does it make to people in the world? But how can we as Christians shine our light to people? What steps can we take in the year 2021 and really beyond to work or to shine our light? And if you will, turn with me to James chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And that's James chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. And the first point that I would like to make is that one way that we can begin to shine our lights in the year that is 2021 and beyond is that we can be careful and considerate about the words that we say, not only what we're saying, but how we're saying them. The things and the words that we say matter. Of course, our words are a very powerful tool. Our words can be used to build people up. They can be used to encourage people, uplift people, strengthen them, or they can be used for bad. They can be used to tear people down, to discourage people. And we need to be careful about what we're saying and how we're saying it. In James chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, he says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." One common phrase that I had when thinking about putting this point down was growing up in with my family, my grandparents, I always heard the phrase, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. Sometimes you may be mad, you may be angry, but sometimes if you're going to address somebody in a mean or hateful way, maybe it's just best to not say nothing at all, just to bite your tongue and not say anything. Because the way that we address people, the way that we talk to them, that can be a quick introduction to whether or not they are interested in the Word of God, or if they say, oh, you're a Christian and you talk like that, if that's what God wants you to live and that's how God wants you to live, I don't want any part of that. The second reason, or the second way, rather, that we can just begin to shine our light, and there are several reasons or ways, but we consider our sources of entertainment. Well, what does that mean? Well, how are we spending our free time? When we have extra time on our hands, maybe what is it, where are we going? What places are we attending? What restaurants are we going to? Are we going to bars or clubs or things of that nature? How are we living our lives? Where are we going with our friends? And when we're with friends or family, what are we doing with that spare time? What shows are we watching? What movies are we watching and showing to people? It's our entertainment, and what we're showing to our friends and our family can be used to bring people to Christ, and it can be used to where they don't have any interest. They may never be introduced to him. So that's an important point for us. And then thirdly, our one other way, and I wanted to just differentiate this from point number one, but we are careful about how we use social media as well. Of course, social media nowadays is a very, very powerful tool. And just like our words, it can be used for good and it can be used for bad. also growing up in kind of the, I guess, the generation I'm in, I was always taught, think before you post. Something, a very simple thought, but we may forget that sometime. And when, what we may also not realize is that people are always watching, whether we realize or not, or whether we want to or not, but people are looking at what we are posting, what we are sharing, what we are commenting, what we're commenting on, the pages we follow, the pages we like, the pages we share, so on and so forth, and we can keep going. And our social media, when we use that, it can be used, as I said, for good or for bad. We can use that to spread the word of God, or we can use that to, you know, share something that we know is going to create a nice little ruckus on Facebook or on Twitter and get people all riled up. And so when we're posting things, or whenever we're just using social media in general, just next time we go to post that post that we know is going to make somebody mad, or we know it's going to start an argument, instead of doing that, maybe we can use that to introduce somebody to the Word of God through maybe sharing a live stream, sharing a jump start, sharing a Bible verse, things of that nature. And for it, maybe even people that we're friends with or that we follow who don't know us, that can be an introduction to them to the Word of God, just by you simply sharing something on a social media page. And then fourthly and finally, in a way that we can really shine our lights is that we can be thoughtful and considerate of other people and what they're going through. We live in a world right now that is very self-centered. People only care about themselves and what's best for them, and besides that, they don't have any other interest in any other people. And us as Christians, we can really do a lot in that aspect, where when somebody's going through a hard time, when they're feeling down on their luck, maybe they're just having a rough year, we can be the people who are there and say, hey, I know you're going through a tough time. What can I do to help? I can lift out my hand and help you up. Whatever you need, I will be there for you. And through them, when they're looking at the rest of the world who only cares about themselves, only cares about what's in that person's best interest, when they see us being that person who's there for them in times of need, even if we may not know them, but we may not get along with them very well, it can open up the door to them and to the Word of God. And so finally tonight, I know these aren't very, very complex thoughts, difficult things to talk about. But as you're going home, or maybe tonight you're sitting around the dinner table, or you're laying in bed or laying on the couch, just ask yourself, what am I doing to be a light to others in the world? Am I being a light to others in the world? When I'm at the grocery store, or when I'm at work tomorrow, or I'm at school, what do my coworkers think about me? Do you think that they notice that you're a Christian, that you're living your life differently? What do they notice about you? Or instead, do you think that they would think that you stick in, you fit in with the way that the rest of the world is doing? And so maybe you're a Christian among us tonight, and maybe you've been baptized, but you're still living the way that the rest of the world is living. You've never really tried being a light in the world. You've just kind of fallen back into the ways of the world, and you haven't really striven to be a light in the world. Or maybe you're somebody among us who, maybe this is your first time hearing the Word of God, or maybe you've been with us for a long time and you've been thinking about it. Maybe you're ready to be baptized and take that next step. If there is anything that we can do for you tonight, please let us know as we stand and as we sing.